Welcome to the Self-Care Spotlight, presented and inspired by The Journal Deck, a product and brand rooted in self-care and living your truth. Hi, I'm Melissa Cousins, your host and The Journal Deck creator. On this podcast, I'm inviting you to a lifestyle, a way of being, where self-care has nothing to do with being selfish. In fact, we believe that we can give more to others when we give first to ourselves. On the Self-Care Spotlight, it's not just about bubble baths and massages, but getting to the heart of what it really means to live your most aligned life against the backdrop of everyday life. Through my solo episodes and interviews with inspiring women who are just as likely to meditate as they are to curse, the goal of this podcast is to empower you to unapologetically make space for you to live your best life. And remember, self-care can change the world by changing yours first. Are you ready? Hi, guys, and welcome back to another episode of the Self-Care Spotlight. We're here for the month of March. And just like we started before in our February podcast, I want to start with some updates for you in JD land and things we have going on, and then we will jump into today's podcast. So first things first, happy March. We are moving into the light. We are moving into the spring equinox. It is coming. If you are in a place like me, I am in Pittsburgh. So the Northeast, it is cold and it has been dark and we want sun. Hopefully we don't have a winter that lasts well into April like we did last year. But either way, guys, we are moving into the light. The spring is going to be coming here soon, I promise. Okay, so happy March. Here we go. We've got a lot going on for the month. We have a lot going on for the month of March. Let's jump right in. So we have a journaling challenge that is happening this month. We have a workshop that is happening this month. Of course, we have today's podcast guest, and she happens to tie into our first charity partnership that we are doing for the entire month of March. So excited about that give back aspect that I've always wanted to bring into the journal deck. So here we go. First things first, we got the challenge that I was referring to. The challenge is called the Spring Into Journaling Challenge. It is actually a bullet journaling collaboration with Plantful, i.e. Sarah. She is the creator behind the beautiful, seriously, it's beautiful, bullet journaling Instagram page that's at Plantful. It's at plan.tful. And then, of course, her stickers are called Plantful, at Plantful. That's just at Plantful, no dots in there. It's a little confusing, but don't worry. I'll have the links for her Instagram in the show notes. So she's got this amazing Instagram inspirational page that's all about bullet journaling. It's all her bullet journaling, which is really lovely. She's got this super cute artistry about her. And then, of course, her stickers, which just shine through her page, both on her Plantful journaling Instagram page and then the Plantful sticker shop page, which are super cute. They're the perfect addition to your planner or to your journal. I personally really love the spiritual magic stickers that she has, but I'm even more geeked for the custom journal deck stickers that we designed together, complete with little bubble baths, journals, amethyst, and so much more. I cannot wait for you guys to see these stickers. We had a meeting and I just shot out all these ideas of what I thought, you know, the journal deck, if I could condense it down into sticker form, what would that look like? And, you know, she took her creative, artsy energy and drew them up, and I just cannot wait for you guys to see them. So, okay, anywho, back to the challenge. We are seeking to find really a crossover here between creative, more artistic bullet journaling and then soulful journal prompts, which is where we come in. We feel, you know, when we kind of sat down and we talked on the phone together, we feel that there's a bit of a gap between the two worlds, between the bullet journaling world and then like journal prompt, like deeper introspective type journaling land. And we want to help bridge the two worlds. And Sarah's pretty, she's pretty passionate about that. She kind of was feeling that way, you know, in and of herself about her bullet journaling, and that she wanted it to have more of a soulful, aligned energy to it, not just lists and different things like that. And, you know, she just wanted it to have a little more soul. And when we sat down and talked, we thought, you know what, we can bridge this gap here. Let's make an awesome challenge together. So here's some of the details for those of you who want to play along. The Spring Into Journaling Challenge. It's going to begin on Monday, March 11th, and it will include a journal deck journal prompt every 3 days. So it's on the 11th, the 14th, the 17th, and the 20th. You'll have a new journal deck journal prompt that we will give you. This will give you ample time to play with crafting up some artsy bullet journaling alongside your journal deck journal prompt. Okay? So you'll have your journal prompt entry, and then you'll kind of make some artsy bullet journaling-esque type art and creative stuff, you know, doodles and different things around the journal prompt page. Now, of course, if you're worried about, say, you know, I don't want to take a photo of like my journal prompt entry, that's okay. You could always maybe doodle first and then perhaps just write the journal deck prompt at the top of the page. And then that will show us that you, you know, the intention that you did in fact write in your journal. We totally don't want you feeling like, oh my gosh, but I don't want to like, you know, if I pour my heart into this journal prompt, I don't want to like put it all over Instagram. So you can get creative with how you showcase that. But of course, you will need to play along by posting for all 4 of the journal prompt days. The challenge ends on that spring equinox that I was talking about on March 20th. And the winner will be announced that Saturday on March 23rd. We will contact the winner, and the winner will receive a journal deck goddess edition deck. We'll be playing a lot with those prompts. Plus, you will be, if you're the winner, you'll be one of the first to get the journal deck Plantful sticker set. So you'll get a deck plus the JD Plantful sticker set. So that's super duper exciting. Those are brand spanking new. I don't even have mine. I can't speak today. I don't have mine yet. As I'm recording this, I don't even have my stickers yet. So you'll definitely be one of the first. So super exciting. And as a bonus, Sarah and I will also be going live on her Instagram page to chat a bit about the different journal deck prompts throughout the challenge, okay? So we're going to get on and kind of maybe answer them ourselves, or I'm going to provide clarification for the prompts and just kind of giving you a little bit more interaction with us during the challenge where we're going to talk about the prompts. So I think that's super fun. We'll be going live again on her page and doing like a joint Instagram live story. So again, be on the lookout for that Spring Into Journaling Challenge to begin on March 11th. All right. Here we go. Let's move on now to the next item on the agenda, which is another workshop. So on Sunday, April 7th, I am going to be hosting another workshop here in Pittsburgh called Manifest and Thrive with a Self-Care Lifestyle. Well, oh my gosh, guys, I'm sorry. I can't speak today. I hope that when I record with someone later, I get my words. We will be working with the OG journal deck. I'll be talking about the science of journaling, and I'll share the principles of what I call spacious living to manifest your wildest dreams, and really how self-care I have found, you know, in my personal research, how self-care and spacious living actually has a very specific way to help you manifest your dreams. And we'll take a look at what I call the self-care lifestyle, and we'll really break that down. We'll discuss, we'll journal, of course, we'll meditate before finishing off with mimosas and a JD pop-up shop. This is going to be held at Urban Fitco in Sewickley, Pennsylvania, which is just north of Pittsburgh. And this is actually in collaboration with Beauty Boost Pittsburgh. They're all about creating empowering women's events to help women lead healthy, empowered, beautiful lives. So this is kind of like Beauty Boost times the journal deck. And we're hosting it at Urban Fit Co., which is a lovely store that sells fitness apparel and different things for women. And again, that's Sunday, April 7th for my Pittsburgh ladies who are in the region. And it is from 10 until 11:30 with the pop-up shop to follow for about a half hour after that with mimosas, socializing, and you'll be able to purchase journal decks at a special event rate discount. And the tickets are $20 for that workshop. You can find the details for the challenge, the Spring Into Journaling Challenge, as well as a link to the Manifest and Thrive with a Self-Care Lifestyle workshop in the show notes. Okay, let's take a breath. Now that we've got those details aside, let's move on to the show. So have you ever been in a conversation with someone who just does not get the whole self-care thing? Maybe they only see it as getting their nails done, or they see it as almost selfish, or they can't understand why your practices, why your self-care practices are so important to you. And they kind of act like you've sipped the Kool-Aid, so to speak. Yeah, me too. Well, I like to think of myself as a bit of an Epicurean. That's a philosophy term for ya. Meaning I see life as the pursuit of pleasure. But I find that many people seem to confuse that with meaning that I only care about myself. And that I'm kind of naive. And like I just always have rose-colored glasses on, that type of thing. However, I do not see it that way at all. And maybe you agree with me. I see self-care as deeply imperative to my ability to actually be able to give back to others. Because if my cup is empty, I have zero to give. And if I don't feel good, then I won't want to help my neighbor, right? Okay, so here's my little plan words here. Speaking of cups, empty cups, JD Journal Deck has teamed up with this month's guest, Ali Raymer, to give back 20% of our profits made through her Journal Deck shop links for the entire month of March to give back to Charity Water. This highly acclaimed and super well-known charity provides clean drinking water to those in need, helping women and children get an education instead of having to search and search and search for drinking water. I mean, think about it, guys. Self-care and clean drinking water, they kind of go hand in hand. And yet, oh my gosh, do we take it for granted? You know, I'm sipping my coffee right now, which was made with clean water out of my tap. We really take that for granted. This is our first charity partnership, and I am beyond grateful to have one of Boston's most recommended fitness professionals, Ali Raymer, the director of talent at Bespoke Studios, which is a spinning studio, and she's also a yoga instructor, to help us do this first charity partnership where the Journal Deck gets to use some of our profits to give back to a charity. For this first one, we're doing Charity Water. So Ali's links for her Journal Deck shop, they're going to be, of course, in the show notes as well. And that's going to be for the entire month of March. You just have to use her specific Ali shop links. And then those profits, 20%, will go directly to Charity Water for the entire month of March. Again, so super grateful for that. Always wanted to bring give back in. We're super excited. Okay. So, how is self-care a balancing act? How much of your feelings should you share with others or should you keep to yourself? Where is the intersection of self-care and selfless? We've got push versus soft, boundaries versus vulnerability, give back versus receive. In today's episode, you will be tuning in to hear from a woman who is on the journey to softening and fully embracing the true meaning of self-care. Let's go ahead and move on to today's episode with Ali Raymer. And with that, welcome Ali to the podcast.
How's it going? my name is Ali Raymer. Thank you so much for having me.
You're so welcome, Ali. So yes, I want to jump right into how I always like to like lay the groundwork of how do I find these people that are on the show? Because I have such cool guests and people from like all walks of life. And you are a fitness professional, you're a yoga teacher like me, and you also do indoor cycling at Bespoke Studios up there in Boston, Massachusetts. I'm down here in Pittsburgh. So how we met, Ali, why don't you explain how we even came to getting on a conversation? I'll let you explain.
I think that, you know, social media has a funny way of being everyone's best friend and worst enemy. And I think this is a time when social media was being our best friend and it connected us. And I saw that you had liked a couple of my pictures. So I went over to your profile and read about the journal deck and kind of went onto your website and just really liked what you were doing, especially because it was a time when I was looking to find a way to ground myself through journaling. So I think we shot each other a message at some point and started chatting and then hopped on the phone and had like a 2-hour long conversation that I sat in my car parked outside my house chatting with you about.
Yeah. So that's pretty much what happened. Like a classic Instagram meeting. You messaged me at the Journal Deck's Instagram and said a really sweet, kind message about how you even prefaced it with, "This is not an automated message."
Well, you know, you get so many automated messages like, "Hey girl, like just meeting you," like, and it's all automated and it's all copy and pasted. But I wanted you to know that I truly actually liked your page and wanted to connect. So that's why I started that way.
I loved it. And as soon as I read it, I thought I like her even more because she knew that I was going to think that this was just another gimmick, another, "Hey, like, you know, follow me," or "Here's this thing," or "Be on my team." In the fitness industry, there's a lot of like, "Be on my team," or "Get on my," you know what I'm talking about? So
yeah, there's a lot of, sales pitches.
Yeah. And the way that you just were like, "Hey," right off the bat, "this is actually a person. Like, this is not an automated system." And so I liked you even more. And I even said that. I was like, "The fact that you said that, I like you even more. And I'm going to listen to what you have to say." And that's just the power of being really authentic, which I have to say, Ali, I really like that about your page. I think it comes across, I think it does come across pretty authentic, the way that you present yourself. And I think that the people that follow you and probably your students, they feel the same thing. And so we got to talking and I said that I had this idea and can we just like chat? And you're right. Yeah. You sat outside your house in your car and just talked and we talked about self-care and you got really like real about self-care. Which I love that happens with strangers. Sometimes you like open up to a stranger more than you open up to people that you know really well. I find that all the time because there's no, like, you feel like there's less judgment almost because they don't know you. They don't know your story. And I really enjoyed that conversation and I knew that I wanted to actually have a deeper one with you. So thank you for deciding to come on the podcast. I appreciate it.
Yeah, I think, it's one of those things where I meet so many people every single day in person, just from teaching. I think having the capacity to be vulnerable with strangers, it comes a little bit easier for me because I almost have to, because I do meet so many people all the time. And if I'm guarded, it's not going to be the best kind of communication or relationship. So I do try to share with people, not only on social media, but when I meet them or talk to them on the phone, because I think there's like a psychological safety that can be created by being vulnerable. So the conversations can be a little bit more, what's the word? I don't know. Not personal, but personal and kind of just more meaningful, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I think that, you know, the fact that you wanted to have a phone call, I was kind of like, no one wants to talk on the phone anymore.
Yeah, that's true. That's very valid. Very valid.
It's pretty cool. So, I mean, I enjoy talking, so it was nice.
What do you, that kind of just pings me off to my first point. I'm just thinking, you said that you kind of feel like it's more natural for you in what you do, that you're a teacher, like you are constantly meeting new people. In the fitness industry, people are coming to your classes, all the things. And that is kind of your, you know, I'm a yoga instructor too. Like it's your role. You're welcoming people, especially newbies, and you're fostering these relationships with your students who come to you all the time. So that comes natural for you. But how do you think, well, I guess maybe what would you say to somebody who thinks, maybe that doesn't come natural to me? Like being vulnerable like that with strangers, that doesn't actually, like, I don't feel that comfortable. I don't know. Like, do you have anything that you would say about that or what your experience has been with something that's helped you to just be more authentic with people?
I mean, it's so funny. I was actually talking to my mom about this and, you know, I don't really know when in life I developed this trait of authenticity and vulnerability, but it's been something similar or something. Sorry, my cat just jumped on me.
Oh, I heard them.
It's been something that's been pretty, you know, embedded in my personality for a very long time. My mom is very authentic and very vulnerable, and I'm not sure if it's a product of how I was raised, but one of the things, like, I train all of the instructors at my studio, and I've been training people for a long time in how to teach and how to teach spin specifically, but it's just trying to figure out, you know, what you're comfortable sharing and what you're not comfortable sharing. And if you're not comfortable sharing something, and that doesn't mean you have to be vulnerable, but you need to find the things that you are comfortable sharing with people, because you're going to be, you'll be able to speak to it authentically because you're comfortable with it. So I try and talk to them about, like, figure out things that you want to share with people, and then it's going to come out more authentically, and then that just keeps leading to more opportunities to talk and to speak. And it's not an easy trait, and I don't expect everyone to have it, but I think what works is that if one person is vulnerable, one person starts that conversation or that piece, the other people tend to fall in line.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Vulnerability is bravery.
Yeah, for sure. And it's also like, it's a lead by example. Mm-hmm. It's not something that, like, just everybody has. It's definitely something that someone has to begin. And that's usually takes bravery. And I've just always had it. And I don't know how I cultivated it, but I've become more aware of it as I've gotten older. I still don't, it's not something I think about every day. I'm like, I'm going to be vulnerable right now.
Right.
It just happens.
Right. But you're more cognizant now of the impact it has.
Yeah. And I think it's interesting. I've been teaching spin since I was about 18 or 19. So I guess that's, say, 12, 13, 14 years around there. I don't even know anymore. But it's harder now to be as vulnerable in when I'm teaching or, you know, raw as I used to be when I was younger. Because I've just been doing it for so long and it's almost like second nature to teach. So I do find that newer instructors who have that trait of authenticity and vulnerability and that raw edge comes really easy to them. They're just kind of like, everything's just coming out, you know, they're just coming out of their mouth. Whereas now I'm a lot more refined in the way I teach. So I do find it interesting that, like, I've actually kind of, like, rolled back on that piece when I teach.
Interesting.
It just happened, I think, as I became more involved in the business as well. You know, there's a lot more on my mind.
Sure.
But it's something I try to tap into, especially, you know, if you're emotional before you teach, as I'm sure you've probably experienced, if you've had something traumatic happen right before you teach, or you get in a fight with someone, or you're sad, or you wake up sick, or you're in, like, a state, you kind of try to channel the energy in a positive way. versus, you know, letting it kind of bring you in. I try not to let it create a wall. Instead, I try and let it like become a part of the class in a positive.
Right. I actually think that's so interesting you brought that up, because this is like anyone, whether you happen to be like a spin instructor or a yoga instructor like us, or whatever it might be, you're about to walk into your work meeting, you're about to do whatever, and something bad happened, or you had a really bad morning, your car broke down, you just found out that someone got in a car accident, or something's wrong with your pet, and you feel like you can't, like you're like your head is somewhere else, but you have to do the thing. You have to show up for the interview. You have to teach the class. You have to go to work. You know, life still goes. I find it so interesting, and that you brought that up, because I've often thought, how do we as humans find that balance between having to know that life goes on and also wanting to be authentic and real? Like, I find that kind of balance, that's a little bit of a struggle for me with my students, is how much do you share and say when you have had a real bad day? Like right now we're dealing with, my dog is really sick, and she's having a lot of kidney issues, and it's really bad. And yet, you know, some days are great, some days are terrible. And how much do you share, and how much do you let what happened during your day affect whatever it is that you're about to do? And I think that's true for anyone in any job that they're in, any situation, is finding that balance, which I think is interesting, between being authentic and, like you said, also having to show up and be there for your students or be in the interview. Am I making sense?
Oh yeah. I mean, it's funny. It's a weird balance. And, you know, I could tell you so many times where I walked into class, and this is when I was younger, you know, in my early 20s, and I was just raw. And I literally would teach and I would black out. Like, I had no idea what happened. And I remember saying, like, yeah, I blacked out during that class. It was wild, you know, but now it's like, that doesn't happen to me anymore. I'm so cognizant of what I'm saying. And I don't know if it's a product of, if it's a product of just like recognizing that sometimes that wasn't the most positive thing, or if it's something like maybe I've become a little bit more reserved because it's more about the students than about me now. Where it was very much of a self-serving kind of practice for me back in the day, which is neither right nor wrong. And, you know, so now you do, like you're saying, you're learning what to share, when to share it, how to share it.
Exactly.
And I think it's interesting that you tied it back to other people who, because I've never had a 9-to-5 job. I've never worked behind a desk. I've never had like a, you know, what you would think of as a societal normal role. I've always done kind of just odd jobs, and I can imagine at the office it's the same way. Like, you have a big meeting and something happens right before, it's the same thing as teaching a class. I mean, I don't want to say the same thing, but it's still, it's like the same feelings. Everyone has the same feelings.
Sure.
It's good to be aware of that. And I think we could teach people as instructors, because we are also inspiring them how you can handle it. You know, I share with certain classes, you know, I'll share like, hey guys, like, I'm having a really rough day. Like, I really need this class. You know, I'm really looking forward to it. Or, you know, hey, like, let's like just let some shit out. Sorry, I said shit, but twice.
It's okay. You're allowed.
You know, I need to let it out on the bike. Or, you know, actually a lot of times it's almost just like presence, you know, just not saying anything and riding really hard and just teaching a really solid class that's like without words, emotional. Mm-hmm. It's hard to teach. It really is. You know, I have an instructor recently who lost her mother about a month ago, and I can't imagine what that's like. And I feel so deeply for her, and I just, you know, I know that she loves teaching, and it's her outlet. You know, she's like, it makes me feel good. It's when I'm happiest. And so there's different, you know, it is, teaching is such a positive thing. But I'm not sure like how much she is willing to share about it when she's teaching. Sure. She wants to upset people or make it like a downer. Cause we've talked about it. So mm-hmm.
It's everyone. Cause everyone has shit happen, because we're all human. Yeah, it's just an interesting conversation. And I think that's about knowing yourself and what, like you said, what are you comfortable sharing? What vulnerabilities are you willing to be open with? What, you know, what walls are you willing to kind of break down? How much are you willing to talk about it? Or it's all your own personal boundaries, I think, guys, is kind of what we're getting at. And that's a part of just, I think, figuring yourself out. And as you grow and evolve and, you know, get more in touch with your own emotions and where you're willing to be vulnerable and share. I do think that there is value in sharing. I'm very hesitant to say, just pretend, you know, I would never tell someone, like, just put on a happy face and just pretend that that everything is fine. I can't even imagine like acting like that if I had the worst day ever. I think I'm just way too transparent for that. I think people would know I was being fake. I don't know about you, Allie, but I feel like people would be like, you're being fake right now. Like, you're acting a role right now. And I never want my students to feel like I'm acting like, in a certain role. So I balance. It's like a balance thing of being a human and having life go on and also being human and having emotions and range. So talking about all these vulnerable things, we're going deep here, Allie. Talking about vulnerability, I felt like whenever you got on the call with me, I thought you got vulnerable. And it was about you being open with like, and you started sharing about it on your Instagram and talking about, you know, you had this great post and you said it was this beautiful image of like a bathtub. And you said, this is not self-care. And then you have this lovely caption about what is self-care and like what is not self-care. Can you kind of explain to the listeners what that post was trying to get at? Because I felt like it really rooted a lot out of also the conversation me and you had and that you got vulnerable with me about some things about self-care that have been on your mind. Can you share a little bit about the intention behind what you wrote in that post?
I mean, there's so much intention behind that post. And if I had a blog, it probably would have been about 6 pages long.
But go for it, girl. Explain.
The long story short is self-care is a word that's extremely trendy right now. And I'm not mad about that. I'm very happy about that. I just think that personally, I've been scratching the surface in what I share about self-care. Hey, go get a facial because it makes you feel pretty. Hey, like, you need a manicure, it's going to help relax you. Like, what makes you feel good, you know? And that's just step one in self-care. Like, taking a bath is step one. And that's physical, right? But self-care is just so much deeper than the physical things you can do for your body. It's truly about getting to know yourself again. And, you know, it's really about being alone in your own head and not getting anxiety, you know, and trying to learn how to be comfortable with yourself and who you are. I think that self-care is really more and more and more about understanding who you truly are. So that you can express that to the world. I wrote in that post that I took a class with this woman, Natalie. It's called The Class by Taryn Toomey in New York.
I know what it is. I want to go so bad.
It's so good. Natalie was phenomenal. But she was just like, stop blaming everyone for not seeing you because you can't even see who you truly are. And I was like, whoa. And that's what kind of sparked the post. It's like, no one's going to see you for who you want to be and who you want them to see you to be in a relationship, in friendships, in a job. No one's going to see you unless you truly see yourself. Like, no one's going to how would they see you if you don't even know who you truly want to be? I've met a very rare few people who I think truly can, you know, say like that they truly see themselves. And even then it's still a life
progress. It's a life's work. I think that self-care is so, there's so many different facets and there's so many different sides of it. There's so many different steps that you can take. But it, at the root of it, it's about understanding yourself better. And how do you do that without getting anxious? You got to relax a little bit. You got to calm down. You got to slow your mind down.
Mm-hmm.
So to slow your mind down, sometimes you have to slow your body down. And for me, in order to slow my body down, sometimes I literally have to sit in a hot bath. So that's kind of where that post came from.
Yeah, I really liked, I loved the post because you said, I think maybe those exact words, like, I feel like I've been scratching the surface and I've not really been sharing what self-care really is. Like you said, you know, that's the question that we ask everyone is, what does self-care mean to you? I think you just answered it. It's like, it's really knowing who you are and taking care of that person truly. And that self-care kind of, it sounds like, leads you to know who you are. When you deeply care for yourself, that's a much more deep definition than I think we could agree most people lend to the term self-care, right?
Yeah, it's the more difficult part of it. And I think everyone who's sharing about self-care and taking care of themselves it's a positive. It's a net positive. Don't stop sharing. Don't stop talking about self-care, because self-care is mental health, and mental health is a huge problem right now with people, that they're not taking care of their mental state of mind, and we're mentally being stimulated more than we ever have been and a lot faster than we used to be. So it's harder to like, it's just harder to slow down and really take care of that mental state of mind. And it's much more complicated these days.
Mm-hmm.
I think that self-care can, you know, the more people share about it, the better, because then it becomes like an easier term for people. But then it's my job, it's your job, people who do have a deeper understanding of it, it's our job to start now taking one layer down and going to the second layer and going to the third and the fourth and going deeper. And that's what I think, you know, my purpose is right now, is to help people continue to peel back the layers.
So since you are a spinning instructor at Bespoke, do you find that it's, I would think, so like as a, you're also a yoga teacher, like I am. In yoga, I feel like it lends itself a little bit more to that like self-reflection, because we're all about like mind, body, spirit connection and stilling the mind by moving the body and all the things. It almost lends itself fairly easily. Granted, most people come to yoga because they want to work out. Like that's like usually the initial thing a lot of times. At least I teach vinyasa. So typically it's, I want to work out. That's why they show up to yoga. I want to get more flexible. But then they discover like all of the stilling of the mind, and they discover the deeper self-work that we're talking about, knowing yourself, all of the things, finding connection. Do you find, like, how is that for you? Like, how do you bring that into a cycling type of space where there's such a, you know, you and I discussed this, that space is so much more push and go, 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 and, you know, like, compared to, say, obviously yoga, which is interesting that you do both. You got like yin and yang there. How do you think you can approach someone who, say, is in the push, 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 go, go, go mentality, lots of fire, which is a lot of people, like, let's be honest, that's just what our society promotes. You see it here now that you used to live in Cali and now you're on the East Coast. Like you see it, that mentality of push and go and goals and striving. I see that could be more connected to like the bike and pushing versus yoga. How do you get that message across, Ali, to people about slowing down and that there is value in that and that you don't have to like push all the time? You know, you and I kind of had touched on that. That you were like kind of on, like, I don't want to say on, yeah, I guess it is like a little bit of unlearning so that you can relearn slowing down. And we were talking about the feminine energy and softening a little. I guess, like, what do you have to say about all of that? And, like, what are you working with right now? And maybe what you're working with, it's going to resonate with someone else who's in the same position. Yeah.
I mean, I think that indoor cycling in itself is so massive right now. And mm-hmm. you know, I've been doing it for so long, and I love it so much because – as much as it's push, 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 fast, 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 hard, 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 go, 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 it also is so much about, at least for my classes and a lot of my instructors who teach and other classes I've taken here and there, it is so much more about those 45 minutes are yours.
Mm-hmm.
It's you alone on a bike. And because, I mean, yes, of course, the physicality of it is very intense. But I don't know. I'm trying to, like, figure out. It's like it's self-care because for a lot of people, like, being able to sneak out of the office at lunch for 45 minutes. Like,
absolutely.
That's taking – they like, hey, like, I need this. And also, like, our studio is really expensive. And, like, people who come there, it's like they're – working out dollars to come take classes, and like that's like a, you know, it's a big part of their life. Like, it's, I was talking to my girlfriend who's been coming for years since we opened, and she goes, it's a part of my life. Like, it's part of my lifestyle now, you know. So it does lend itself, and I think other workouts are the same way. I think where it becomes excessive is when it becomes very focused on the physicality, and it's like, how can I go faster, how can I go harder, how can I ride every single day? You know, it's like, and it's when it becomes more competitive, I think that's where I kind of shy away from. I think that the people who do get a little bit too intense about it, it's just, you kind of have to approach them when you're teaching on a mic, obviously not unless they approach you after class or something, but you know, you talk about it, you say, hey, like, this isn't just good for you physically. Like, these challenges in this ride are building your, you know, your mental endurance as well. And you talk about how, you know, the uncomfortable parts of class are training you for the uncomfortable parts of life. Like, if you could get through this, you can go and get through something else off the bike. Like, it does definitely go on and off the bike in terms of the challenging, the mental challenge, the physical challenge, of course. So yeah, I mean, it's a weird balance that you have to strike as an instructor. You know, there's different workouts for different people, and I can kind of compare it to, not the workout, but in a way, like, meditation's really hard for a lot of people, right?
Sure.
It's really challenging to the point where a lot of people just can't do it. And I've been listening to a lot of podcasts, and all of the highest performers in this world meditate or do some sort of meditation practice. And personally, I have a really hard time meditating. I don't meditate. I have found that for me, journaling is a more accessible way for me to tap into what's going on in my head. I'm hoping that journaling can lead me to meditating in a more, you know, in an easier fashion. But until I can really slow myself down, meditation has become, it's not, I don't want to say it's too hard, but it's not fulfilling. It's actually more
stressful. Right. It's more, you're like meeting yourself where you are right now is kind of what you're doing. Like, you're not forcing, like, I have to sit and meditate.
Right. And I think that's where you can kind of compare it to spin. It's like, or yoga or something. It's like, sometimes, like, maybe doing yoga for people is like, just really this, they can't do it without it being super stressful, but spin, they can do it. And I consider workouts where you're so engrossed in the workout that you literally can't think about something else. It's almost
absolutely
the focused thing for 45 minutes. Like, our classes are so intense, and like, there's so much going on, and like music, and you're riding to the beat, and you're moving, and you're sweating, and you're cheering. And it's like, so engrossing that it becomes this, you're really like, you're using that same type of mental muscle, because you have to focus on it so hardcore that you can't really think about anything else.
And I think being able to, and I tell this to like anyone, I think that you need both of those energies in your life. It's not about having one or the other and that one's better. but how can you strike a balance in some way that you have, like, sometimes I just really want to be super flowy and soft on my yoga mat. And then other times, like, I just went to a class called Solid Core.
Oh yeah.
And it kicked my ass.
Yeah. I kind of wanted to try that.
Oh, it was so hard. Oh my God. Like, I was dying. That was so much masculine energy, but I needed to balance that. I could not do that all the time. Like, I have to mix it up and bring in a softer energy for me to strike a balance in my life. Does that make sense? Like, I feel like I would suggest that people try to find an avenue for both the softening and the push, because I think it's that balance of, like, the feminine energy slowing down, softer, versus give it your all. I think it's really nice to have both, like, different self-care practices and tools that allow you to embrace both of those energies, I'll call them. Does that make sense?
Yeah, 100%. It's one of those things where, you know, masculine energy is very, you know, physical, right? And it's very, very external and productive and linear, and where female energy is a little bit more internal. It's to receive and hold space, you know? So it's like, you can get both in certain workouts.
Right. And different practices as a whole, like different self-care routines are going, anything at all are going to elicit different sensations and feelings. And what's the word I'm looking for? Benefits that you're going to get from each of them. I think it's like just striking that balance between the two. This conversation is becoming a lot about balance.
Yeah.
I'm seeing a vibe here. Okay. Okay. I have to ask you, cause I really want to give some space here, talking about holding space. I really want to give some space to talking about giving back and how giving back to others actually can be a form of self-care. I think that's a really interesting conversation, because people do not inherently think self-care, give back, right? Like, they're like, wait, what? It's the word self is in there. What does that have to do with giving to another person? Right? Because, like, even the word selfish has self in it. So how is self-care, what does that have to do with giving back, and how does that have anything to do with that lifestyle? So you and I thought this would be super cool if we could kind of combine our communities. You're doing something really cool for the month of March, whenever this episode is going to air. And you and Bespoke Studios, for the whole month of March, you guys are working to, you're going to have an event, and you're working to create donations for an amazing charity called Charity Water. So can you talk a little bit about why you guys at Bespoke decided to do this whole event for the month of March and all the things? Why is this important to you to do that? And why Charity Water?
So Bespoke and I teach there. I'm also a director of talent there. And we had goals to refine the way that we gave back, to leverage our platform and our community to give back. And, you know, you said, sorry to circle back, you said something about, you know, self-care and then selfish, but you know what giving back is? Selfless.
Aha.
So, you know, it all kind of ties together in that way. Giving back. So the way I can simply explain it is that for me, when I teach, it's giving back to my community, it's giving back to my students, and that makes me feel good, and it makes them feel good. So giving back's a win-win situation. It's, you feel good, they feel good, we all feel good. You know what I mean? So I consider giving back in any way, shape, or form a very, very, you know, net positive. So of course it can be a huge part of self-care.
Right. And I think, how do you, you know, it's like the whole part of, for me, with Give Back, and I've always wanted the journal deck to be, I've wanted to build Give Back into the journal deck. So you guys are our first, like, opportunity working with you, Allie. I'm so excited because it's our first opportunity to do like a Give Back partnership type of deal. And I'm so pumped about that and grateful to do that, because to me, it's like, I always tell people, you cannot give to others unless you first give to yourself. Like, you have to have that cup full in order to be able to give anything, right? Like, that you can't give from an empty cup reference. And I think that for me, since we're a self-care based brand at our core, I've always wanted to have Give Back a part of it, but I also know that I need to have my people in this community feeling good and whole in themselves. And that from that good place, you're going to have so much overflow and so much desire to give back to others with your whole heart, right? Because you feel so good, you're naturally going to give back. If you feel like crap, and you don't love yourself and you feel like shit and you don't take care of yourself, you're never going to give back. It's going to be me, myself, and I. Like, what about me? That's going to be, right? It's going to be lack mentality. How can I possibly give? What about me, right? So to me, it's so, you have to feel good and take care of you in order to give back, or you most likely won't, right?
Yeah, and it will be more stressful than it is helpful. So
exactly. And that's not the energy you want to put in to projects like this, to when you do give back. So why Charity Water, though, of all the charities? I know you really loved, you were telling me about the video that you watched about the founder. Why Charity Water? I've certainly heard a lot about it, but why did you guys go with that one?
So there is a conference here in Boston called HubSpot. You know, thousands of people go, and our team went in September, and Scott Harrison, the founder, spoke at HubSpot. They were moved just the way I was moved when I saw him speak at Well Summit in Brooklyn. I saw him speak live and just moved to tears. And it wasn't because he was throwing, you know, Sarah McLachlan music on, even though there probably was, but it was emotional because of how real the problem is and how largely it affects the entire world. And, you know, he was an amazing speaker. His story is very cool. And he started the pretty much, I don't know this as a fact, but I know it's like one of the first fully transparent charities that was just like, hey, 100% of our, you know, donations are being used to fund the actual work that's going into providing clean water. And then what he did is he separated that and has then private funding for all of the, you know, operations. So, you know, when you're donating $32 to Charity Water, I'll explain that later. But when you're donating that money, every single dollar is going to go towards funding the water, bringing clean water to the community.
Mm-hmm. That's cool.
He really touches in on how destructive dirty water is. Not only just drinking it, but what it does to communities and to women and children specifically. The women and children in a lot of these villages and communities are forced to search for water for, you know, a day, all day. They walk to the water. They fill up these yellow jerry cans. You know, you'll see them in my posts. Fill them with water. They're, you know, I don't know, 100 pounds or more. Carry them back to the village and then repeat it. So they can't work. So they can't make money. They can't go to school, so they don't have educations. So it's just this cycle, and it's keeping these women and children in this cycle of no education and no money and poverty. And so what he found is that when he brought clean water, not only did it help, you know, health-wise, it actually helped boost communities and create jobs. And he works with local partners to help build the wells or the, you know, the filtration systems that they use.
When there's access to clean water, easy access to clean water, women, men, children can get access to education because they'll have time to go to school. If they go to school, they'll become, you know, they have time to learn skills that will then make them money to provide for their families. So it's not just about drinking clean water, which is obviously you do not want to drink dirty water. No one does. It's actually about the impact it had on the communities. And it was, it's just what he said, and this is what was so easy or cool about it is that it's so easy to do. You have to raise, you know, it's like $10,000 to $12,000 funds one well for an entire community. So we have access, you know, thousands of people on our mailing lists. We have thousands of people walking our door every week. We can host a big fundraiser. Why not? You know, so we're already somewhere near, you know, 20,000 raised, and that's almost two wells. So it's just cool to see the impact so quickly. You know, we're in a very, what's the word, society? Like, people want to see the results right now.
Instant gratification.
Yes, yes. We're, you know, it's all instant gratification, and it actually can provide that. So we just thought it was a really, you know, it's also such an easy charity to work with. They have all of the information on the website. They give you so many tools and resources. They're available to help. It was a no-brainer for us to partner with them.
I love that.
So, like, one thing that why I said the number 32, it's his whole concept is that for your birthday, instead of asking for presents, you know, he's utilizing that whole fundraising for your birthday. And all you have to do is ask for the age that you're turning as a donation. So I'm turning 32 on March 7th. So I'm asking my community to donate $32 to my fundraising efforts. So that's where that number came from. But they have so many stories of just so many people who have raised money for this charity, from little girl, I think she must have been 6 or 8 years old, raising millions of dollars, literally, for charity water. So it was just, it's a great company to work, or charity to work for.
That's beautiful. Thank you for explaining that. I didn't even, you know, you don't think about all those, the other benefits, like the women and children that are having to walk to just go get water and heavy, you know, super heavy at that, and bring it back. And of course they're not gonna be able to go to school. They just need water just to live, to sustain themselves. It's really opens your mind in the privileged society that we live in, for sure. And guys, I'm just so grateful, Allie, to be able to do this with you guys. So what we're going to do is, Allie's, you know, they're having their event and everything at their studio. That's amazing that you've already raised all of them that much amount of money. Like, seriously, kudos. That's amazing. But for the entire month of March, again, this podcast, you're listening to it. We're recording in February. You're going to listen in March. The entire month of March, the Journal Deck is going to give Allie her very own shop link. And I'm going to have that shop link right in the show notes, guys, for you to click. And I'm sure Allie will have it somewhere in her link in bio, and she'll have it there for you. That is going to be Allie's personal Journal Deck shop link, meaning that any of those products that if you use that specific link and you buy our products at the Journal Deck through Allie, then we are going to take a percentage of those. We're going to take 20%, and we're going to then turn around and give 20% of that and give it to Charity Water in Allie's name, essentially. So we're going to do that the entire month of March. And that's really cool. Again, the link is going to be in the bio for Allie's personal Journal Deck shop. And I'm sure she'll have it on her Instagram and different things like that. If you forget where to find it, it'll be in probably both of our bio links somewhere in our link trees or whatever. You'll find it. And it'll definitely be in the shop link for this specific episode. So yeah, I think, Allie, is that pretty much sums all that up, right?
Yeah, it's a really great foundation. And how it can tie back, if you want to tie it back into self-care to really bring it home, is that it goes as far as these people can't even, like, wash their face. They can't take showers. So they feel dirty. They don't feel presentable.
Think of water. I mean, water is like cleansing.
They can't take a bath. You know, they don't feel like they could go get a job interview because their clothes aren't clean. just everything down to, and it all goes, then boils down to confidence. So it is, it's a really powerful thing. It's more than just water. That's just a really easy way to kind of start the conversation.
Absolutely. Oh yeah. Allie, you're so right. I mean, cleansing, water is life. I mean, literally internally we need water, and externally to feel like we are taking care of ourselves, we need to feel cleansed and confident enough to put ourselves forward. And you know that feeling whenever you just feel like you need a shower, right? You need a bath, and that we take that for granted. Absolutely, we do. You know, I have water right here next to me right now in case my throat got dry while I was talking to you. And what a privilege that is, that it's right out of my tap in my kitchen and I don't have to worry about that. You know, it's really amazing. And I'm truly grateful, Allie, that you said yes to wanting to have your own little journal deck shop link. I literally just made the link and it says Allie's shop. So you have your own shop for all of our products. Allie, I have one more question for you from the journal deck. So as I promised you, I told you that I was going to pull a journal deck card for you. I was going to pull a prompt for you. So for those of you who don't know, if you're new to the journal deck, maybe you're tuning in for the first time to the Self-Care Spotlight, this podcast is brought to you guys by the journal deck, which is a physical product. That's a card deck, a 52 card deck full of journal prompts. You know, Allie was talking about she's getting more into journaling and that introspective deep self-care, asking the deep, big questions in life. You know, this is not just like Dear Diary and writing about what you did that day and the boy you liked. You know, this is deeper questions. So I pulled a card for you, Allie. Mm-hmm. And I always just kind of am like, you know, what do I need? What does she need to know? And, or when I'm doing it, what do I need to know today? So for you, I just shuffled the deck here and kind of put the energy in of what does Allie need to know? So here's what you got. I'm very curious where you go with this. So let's see. Write in your journal today about, what is your intuition telling you?
Wow.
That could be about anything.
I know. So lately I've had a really, you know, I don't know how to explain this other than I feel like my work so far in life has come, I've ended a chapter, essentially, and not in a way that like I'm leaving my job or anything, but it's more like I feel like I've come full circle in a bit of a way. As a person, as a woman, as an instructor, as a daughter, as a human. And my intuition is telling me that it's time to start something new. And that's scary.
Oh, yes, it is.
And it's taken me about 9 months to really fully process what that would be. And I think that I have, my intuition's telling me to go for it, regardless of if it's fully thought out. My intuition's telling me that I do need to do something different. That, not that I'm gonna change everything in my life, but I need to be using my energy and my time in a new way. Because I have evolved and I am different than I was 10, 12 years ago. I'm different than I was 5 years ago. I'm completely different than I was 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
In the best way. And my intuition is telling me to just keep chipping away at this new endeavor. So even if it's really scary, because it is, it's scary to start something new, to put yourself out there with something that you've never done before. Yeah.
But again, full circle, vulnerability is bravery. There we go. Yeah, there it is. We've come full circle. And I am very curious as to what this is going to be. So I'm going to be keeping an eye out for what you have up your sleeve and how you're going to be evolving into who this Allie is right now. So thank you for sharing that. And I actually just remembered, I do have one more question, and it's perhaps, it's the least serious question, but maybe the most important question. So I'd like to ask all my guests, milk chocolate or dark chocolate or not a chocolate person?
Both. So I would never be able to choose. If you handed me both, I'd be happy with either one.
I just always like to ask people. I think it's so funny to see their responses. So I always ask that as like a really light note to end the show. All things self-care, it comes down to chocolate.
Dark chocolate's not a bad thing. It does well in certain ways, but you know, I'd rather eat like, you know, I don't know, like 60%, 75%. I don't even know.
Well, now they make chocolate apparently that is like a mixture. So it's like a blend. Have you seen this?
So what is it like?
It's a blend of, it's like milk and dark. I don't know. It's like some hybrid, and I've been seeing it, and it's supposed to like be the best of both worlds. I haven't tried it yet, but it must be like, maybe it's like 60% or something. So maybe it's somewhere in the middle. I don't know what constitutes as dark chocolate. I'm not sure what percentage. I don't know exactly.
I mean, if you really read into the words, milk chocolate has milk in it, right?
Yeah.
It does not. Technically, I don't eat dairy, so I probably shouldn't be really eating milk chocolate. But
it's so good.
I do.
Yeah, but it's yummy. I happen to be more team dark chocolate, but I used to be milk chocolate. In fact, I used to be on the other end and like white chocolate, like sweet white chocolate when I was a little girl. And now I'm like team dark. So I've switched. But anywho, that's a tangent on chocolate. thank you so much, Allie, for sitting down and having this conversation with me. I've really loved getting a chance to talk to you again for a nice long juicy conversation and making those real connections off of social media. So thank you so much for talking to me and being real and vulnerable with me and with the audience. And thank you for doing this partnership with you guys and with you and Charity Water. And I can't wait to see where you evolve with everything. And just thank you.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
You are so welcome.
All right, guys, if you're like me, I hope this episode reminded you of the importance of giving back as an integral part of self-care, busting the fallacy that self-care is selfish. We know that's the furthest thing from the truth. Lastly, I hope that you'll join me for the Spring Into Journaling Challenge with Sarah over at Plantful beginning on March 11th. And if you're in Pittsburgh, I would love to connect with you in person. It's my absolute favorite thing at the Manifest and Thrive with a Self-Care Lifestyle Journal Deck workshop on Sunday, April 7th at 10 a.m. Our first workshop that we had with the Goddess Edition deck in February went absolutely beyond words. Amazing. If you haven't seen photos, check out our Instagram at the Journal Deck and you'll see a beautiful group photo of us. That was amazing. This one again, Sunday, April 7th at 10 a.m. with the OG deck, Manifest and Thrive with a Self-Care Lifestyle. You can find information and tickets along with Allie's Charity Water Journal Deck shop link. Those are all in the show notes for easy access for you. As always, if this show is important to you, then I would so appreciate you leaving us a 5-star rating plus review on iTunes and perhaps share this podcast with a friend today. If all of you guys did that, that would be another 800 and some people that heard about us and our message here at the Self-Care Spotlight. Thank you so much for listening to another episode, and I will see you next month.